got a couple announcements before we jump into Ephesians chapter 5. And we're starting a new series called This Is Us. And it's going to be the next today and then the next 6 weeks. We're going to be walking through Ephesians chapter 5 and the beginning of Ephesians chapter 6 called This Is Us. So we shared on Facebook the logo and all of that for the series. We'd encourage you to do that. That's a way to invite people. So I want to encourage you to do that. And if you're on social media, please help us out with that. If you're not, no sweat. Some days I like the fact that there are some of you that aren't on social media. It's really, really good. So if you are on there, please share it, like it, invite somebody to come be with us for this series, This Is Us. We also want to announce a couple new members, a couple families that are new members. So we got Jeremy and Christine Phelps. Where are they at? Right back here. Everybody give them a hand. Super thankful for them. And we got Josiah and Shannon McDonald right here. Super thankful for them becoming new members. And if you're interested in the membership process, we're going to start a new process with that starting in August. And so it's going to look like Starting Point, a process where you just get to know who we are here at Mosaic, ask some questions, and then a Next Steps class that will be online where you can read through our materials. We don't want to do a class where we read to you. You're adults, you can figure that out. And but we do want to interact and get you some more information about who we are. And then we would do an interview with you, with one of our elders, just to ask some questions about your faith. So just a real simple three-step process to become a member here at Mosaic, and we'll be rolling that out in August. So with that said, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We got baptism today. Anybody excited for that? We got baptism today. And Ronnie's going to be getting baptized today. Super thankful for that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. We're just looking at two verses today. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is us. Let's take a moment and ask God to help us to understand these two verses this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice that is a fragrant offering, sacrifice to you. We don't have to look beyond the cross to see the beauty and the majesty, the awfulness of our sin, but the glorious love that you have for us. This love that you have for us. So God, I pray that we would see the cross clearly today. For those who come into this place discouraged and hurting, I pray that they would see the infinite love that you have for them. They'd experience that today. For those of us who do know you, maybe you're discouraged and holding on to anxiety, fear, shame, pray that we would embrace the grace and love and forgiveness that you have for us. As we celebrate baptism today, I pray that we would see the gospel clearly displayed today, that you were crucified, that you were buried, and you rose from the dead to give us new life. That's what we get to celebrate today. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. So if you wanted a title for today, This Is Us, This Is Like That. That's our title for today. This is like that. And our big idea is this. We imitate God as his children by walking in love. It's right there in the text. I tried to be super creative. I had like seven different big ideas for today. And I was like, I'm going to say it like this. No, I'm going to say it like this. And then I realized, you know what? It's just really plain right here. We imitate God as his children by walking in love. Now, you've probably heard this statement before. There's no denying whose kid that is, right? If you look at my kids, there's no denying whose kids those kids are, right? You look at my wife, you look at me, and you're like, those are the LaMotto kids, right? Even today during worship, my wife pointed this out to me. She's standing like this, worshiping, and we look down, and Ellie, before she went back to kids' church, she is worshiping like this. And then as she's holding my hand or she's lifting her hand, Ellie is holding her brother's hand and lifting her hand. This is like that, right? It's just the way it is. Maybe you've heard this statement before. You act just like, fill in the blank. You act just like your dad. You act just like your mom. You act just like your cousin, right? Or you look just like so-and-so. It's what fuels every year on social media the doppelganger, you know, craze, right? And we compare people. We're like, he looks like this person, right? When I wore glasses and was a little bit heavier, everybody would say, you look like Drew Carey. Right? It was not very kind. It was not very loving, right? When I was thinner, when people see pictures of me when I was like 190 pounds and still the same height, right? They'd be like, he looks like Brett Favre, right? Have a little beard. I don't see it, but people would say that. He looks like this. Your doppelganger means double, and it's a reflection. You're a mimic. You're a mirror of an image. Someone would say, you look like blank. Who is it for you? Who do you compare yourself to? What do you look like? This is like that. We see the image of original things, and we begin to see it in other people who are not the original. This is like that. So in 2014, I had the opportunity to go to Moscow, to Russia, on a mission trip. And we were there praying for the Central Asian people group. So people who were from like Afghanistan and Tajikistan and all of those countries, they would go to Moscow and they would work jobs and send their money back home to care for people in their country. So I went with a group of about 14 pastors and youth leaders. And we stayed in a hostel right on Arbat Street in Moscow, which is like their Times Square. And it's an amazing place. And I was there in December, okay? Perfect time to go on a mission trip to Russia, December. It was like 20 below. And I learned 40 below is where Celsius and Fahrenheit meet. I got to experience that. And it's not a fun experience. Everything hurts, right? And so I got to experience that. And while I was there, I went to the Olympic Village where the Olympics were held, and they have a big market there. And we were going there to go do some shopping. And so I go to the Olympic Village, and Jessica had told me, she's like, I've heard that they're like wool hats and gloves. They're like the best on the planet. And so we went over there, and I got her some gloves and a hat, and she actually used those up until like last winter. And, you know, 6-8 years, it was awesome. She got to use those, and they were fantastic. I got the kids some little things, and every year, if you come to our house for Christmas, we got these little dacha dolls that have the nativity scene, and they're from Russia as well. And we got a little few ornaments left, not too many, because our kids break them, and so we got a few ornaments left. And while I was there, you say, well, what did you buy for yourself, and what does that have to do with this? Well, I wanted to get a Mont Blanc bag. And Mont Blanc is like a pin, you know, company, and they also sell leather goods. And I really wanted a Mont Blanc bag. And I knew someone had told me you could go get one there and it would cost you way less, right? It's kind of like when you go to New York City and you're like, I'm going to get a Louis Vuitton bag for my wife. It's not really Louis Vuitton. It's like, this is like that, right? And so the guy sells me this bag for $50, $50 US, and he begins to tell me this is like that. And he says, this strap is from an actual Mont Blanc bag, and this is like that. And he says, see the logo, this is like that. It's just like it, right? And I begin to touch it and feel it, and it looked just like the one that I had been looking at online that was like $500. And I was like, $50 sounds better. Let me get this one because this is like that, right? So I got it home, and it worked great for years. And this morning, I was like, this is so perfect for today. I put my iPad back here and I went to zip it. And you can see this is not like that, right? It doesn't quite work the way it's supposed to. It's close enough, nobody would know, but this is really not like that. You know, what's interesting is our passage really helps us to understand this idea. What I got was an imitation. It was a knockoff. It's close, but it's not the real thing. Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus here, and he's saying, this is us. We are like that. We are like that. This is like that. That's what he's saying. That's what he's communicating to us. He says, be imitators of God. And what's so interesting is he ties it so clearly to the cross and the gospel and what God has done for us. He says, if you are a follower of Jesus, this is not like this. It's not an imitation. It's not a knockoff. It's not going to break down on you. It's not going to tear you apart. It's not going to fall apart in the worst moment of your life. Rather, he says, imitate God. This is like that. That's what I want us to look at today. I'm here to tell you that our passage that we're looking at today and over the next few weeks is going to address what imitating looks like. It's going to look like imitating God in our marriages. It's going to look like imitating God in our relationships, our work relationships, our parenting relationships, all these things that Paul is going to talk about throughout chapter 5 and the beginning of chapter 6. He's saying this. This is us. This is like that. This is us. This is who we are. This is how we are to love. We're to be light. We're to walk in wisdom. We're to imitate him in our marriage, in our family, in our parenting, in our relating, in our work relationships. This is like that. You see, we can imitate God if we are in him. That's the only way. The only way we can imitate God is if we're in him. The Apostle Paul knew the importance of imitation, and it shows up in all the things that he writes. Listen to this for just a moment. He told the Corinthians, as their spiritual father in the gospel, in 1 Corinthians 4:16, listen to what he says. He says, therefore, I exhort you, be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 1:6, he says this, you also became imitators of us and of the Lord. And then he uses this tender example of a mother nursing her children. And he uses the example of the affections of a father. And he uses the example of the gospel and Jesus' love for us. In other words, this, Paul, is like that. It's like the cross. It's like Jesus and who he is. This is us. This is who we are. This is like that. Paul was simply following the playbook of Jesus. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke 6:36. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. This is like that. Listen to what he says in Matthew 5:48. Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now that one's a really hard one for me because I know me and I know my life and I know what it's like and it's far from perfect. And yet when Jesus gives us his life, that's what happens on the cross. That's the picture that we'll get today in baptism. He now sees us and he sees us not as we are, as sinful and as separated from God, but if we have put our faith and trust in him, he sees us like Jesus, perfect, righteous, and holy. This is like that. So this is us. And this is like that shows up all over the instructions for us as followers of Jesus. And this is what he's communicating to us. Paul sums up all the things that he said so far and everything that he will say in the rest of the book of Ephesians to us in this one statement. Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So how does this become like that? How does this become like that? Well, we imitate who we are and how we're loved. And our first point this morning is this, from verse 1, imitation is based on relationship. Imitation is based on relationship. So we talked about my kids earlier, they imitate us, their mom and dad. And it's based on relationship. And the same is true in the kingdom of God. Look what he says. Be imitators of God, comma, as beloved children. Paul grounds the command to imitate God in the context of relationship. Now, this is important for us because contrary to popular opinion, we are not all God's children. We're not. You hear that statement made in secular culture, we're all God's children. But that's contrary to the scriptures. There is a sense in which we are based upon the fact that he created all of us. Acts chapter 17, verse 28 talks about this. But scripture is clear, and we've already seen this in Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 2, and what we've already studied, that to become God's children, we have to be born into a new family, a spiritual family. We must be adopted into the family of God, and he must forgive us of our sins, make us new. We go from being dead in our trespasses and sins to being made alive together with Christ. So in that sense, we are not all God's children. And so imitation is based upon relationship. J.I. Packer, in one of my favorite books, Knowing God, he writes this. He said, what is a Christian? The question can be answered in many ways, but the richest answer I know is that a Christian is one who has God for his father. In other words, prior to us coming to faith, this is nothing like that. This is nothing like that. But in Christ, this can become like that, is like that, is seen like that, is seen as loved and forgiven and accepted. But prior to coming to faith in Jesus, this is nothing like that. Scripture is clear that we must be adopted as his kids. Listen to John 1, 12 through 13. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the passage that Victoria read, so great, she did such a great job. Let's put our hands together. She did a fantastic job. She was nervous, but she did good. She did good. But that passage in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5 says that we were adopted into the family. In other words, we were separated from him. This was nothing like that. And in Christ, when we put our faith and trust in him, we were adopted. And now this is like that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Let's look at that verse. It says this. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. So this instruction to imitate God as beloved children is grounded in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5. So 5:1 is grounded in 1:5, that you have to be his children. The reality of what's being communicated is that God's kids don't have to do more or try harder to be like him. He makes us like him. That's beautiful, because it says put down the striving and the doing and the working for acceptance and embrace the fact that this is like that. And when we fail to recognize that, we begin to try to work for our acceptance. We begin to try to behave for our acceptance. We begin to try to live for our acceptance. When as his kids, we are already loved. This is like that. See, my kids don't have to try to look like us. They just are. My kids imitate us because they are us and are around us. This is like that. So could it be, let me ask this question, could it be that the difficulty of trying to be like God is because you aren't his kid? You aren't a part of his family. You see, the basis of Paul's command to imitate God is that we are God's children, beloved children. And it's what we do. We imitate our Father. If this is ever going to be like that, we have to be his kids. If this is ever going to be like that, we have to be his kids. So if you're not a follower of Jesus, we have to ask the question, am I a beloved child of God? Have I been adopted into God's family? And if not, this will never be like that. This will never be like that. But if you are a follower of Jesus and you are in him, do you look more like your heavenly Father today than you did yesterday? If you're a follower of Jesus, does this look more like that every day? And let me think about what we're pointing at. It's the cross. We don't see God any more clearer than when we look at the cross. The sacrificial nature of who God is. This pouring out his entire self of who he is so that you would experience his love and his grace and his kindness and his forgiveness. The only possible way for this to be like that is for you to be made new. And if you are made new, does this look more like that? Or do you look more like your former family? Am I dwelling with him so much that I look like, I act like, I sound like, I smell like him? You see, we imitate what we're around. We imitate what we dwell on. This is us. This is who we are. We can't help it. We are impressionable people. And if this is ever going to be like that, as his kids, we dwell with him. We're intimate with him. We spend time with him, not for our acceptance, but from it so that we can imitate him to the world. The basis of our imitation is our relationship as beloved children, not for our acceptance, but from our acceptance. This is us. This is like that. So imitation is based upon relationship, but let me look at one more thing before we wrap up today, and it's imitation is based on love. Look at what Paul says. He says, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, what's interesting is this, I just want to point this out for our future passages that we're going to look at over this series, This Is Us, because this is the thesis sentence, okay? All of the instructions that we will see, we're going to come back to, this is what us, this is what looking like Jesus, sounding like Jesus, following Jesus looks like in walking in wisdom, in understanding love, in pursuing holiness, in being a parent and being a child and in our marriages and then in our work relationships. All of these things, this is us, it comes back to these two commands, the love of God and imitating God and being in relationship with him. So this second command of walking in love is based on him and who he is. If these two phrases, imitate God and walk in love, are the basis for the rest of the series, what's he saying? How is the love described that we are to imitate? He gives us a power-packed phrase here, and it says two things. God's love is demonstrated in the fact that he gave himself up for us, the cross, and this sacrifice was a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now that is so massive. We could spend 3 weeks on those two phrases. But we're just going to unpack it briefly today. The Bible consistently displays the love of God through the lens of sacrifice. This is like that. This means as husbands, we sacrificially lay down our lives for our spouses. Why? Because this is like that. As wives, we sacrificially lay our lives down for our children and for our husband. Why? Because this is like that. We sacrificially lay down our lives in our workplaces, seeking to imitate God in our workplace so people can clearly see who God is. Why? Because this is like that. We are His kids. And the basis of all of this is God's love for us. Scripture tells us that God demonstrated His love for us and that while we were still sinning, He died for us. This love is like that. It's like the cross of Jesus. Our culture, however, uses the word love for everything from I love pizza to I love dogs to I love my wife. Now, I certainly hope that your love for your wife is more than your love for pizza and more than your love for your dog. Maybe, right? This morning, I did not have great love for my dog. My dog, I opened the door to go out to go make coffee, and somehow, mysteriously, none of our children will fess up to this, he was let out of his crate, and he is standing there. And as soon as I barely opened the door, all 95 pounds of him hit the door with his nose and came in. And I went out, and there was napkins tore up, and there was other things. Thankfully, he did not relieve himself in the house, but he was there to show me how much he loved me and cared about me. And in that moment, my love was not great for him. You see, we often tend to think about love as nice and warm and fuzzy and feelings. And we can't imitate God's love for us until we understand what God's love really is. It's not based upon feelings and emotions and all of that, but it's been demonstrated for us. The ultimate demonstration of God's love, and for us to understand it, is that He sent His Son to die for us. John 3:16 proclaims, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." So Paul tells us in Ephesians 5:25 that we'll look at, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her." In other words, this is like that. It's not selfish, it's not proud, it's not rude, it's not arrogant. All the things that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 13, but rather looks like this. Jesus told His disciples, "Greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." You see, to know Christ only as your example of love is not enough. He is our example. He is our foundation. But here's the deal. Christ offered Himself as our sacrifice. To know Him only by example and not intimately through transformation is to not know Him. This isn't like that. To only know Him up here and not experience Him here is not like that. See, Paul is saying imitation is based upon experiential, transformational love that has changed us from the core of who we are, from being separated from Him to being beloved children. That's the only way this can become like that. See, to know Christ and to truly imitate Him, it's to experience His love for us. So how does Paul describe this love? It's not only sacrificial, but it's a fragrant offering. and sacrifice to God. So this echoes us all the way back to the Old Testament where sacrifices were made on the altar. And the fragrance of that burnt offering, the fragrance of that sacrifice would be a reminder to everybody who came in contact with that sacrifice on that altar would realize that that disgusting, awful smell was as a result of their sin and as a result of their failure. And so this fragrant offering, this fragrant smell was because of God's love being demonstrated through the sacrificial lamb on the altar. And now their sins were appeased. God was appeased because their sins were covered by the blood of that sacrifice. And now when we look at the cross, this sacrifice that Jesus made is a constant fragrant offering, not simply covering our sins, but washing away our sins. It's beautiful. It's an aroma that smells beautiful, not simply because our sins are appeased to God, but because our sins are washed away. It's beautiful. It's a fragrant offering. It's a fragrant aroma. In other words, death satisfied the justice and the wrath of God against our sin, which is the meaning of a fragrant aroma. It's beautiful to God. No longer does God have to turn his back on it, but it's been appeased. It's beautiful. It smells amazing because it satisfies the wrath of God. This is what Jesus has done for us. So you and I must come to Jesus. We must come to the cross and trust in Christ for this to ever look like that. For this life to ever be a beautiful aroma to Christ. For us to ever have the ability to imitate him and sound like him and live like him and act like him in our jobs, in our relationships, in the way that we love. It must be through the cross and what Jesus has done for us. Not through our behavior, not through us obeying and doing more and trying harder, but through embracing the love that Jesus has for us. This is how we know what love is. That Jesus laid down his life for his friends. That's how we know what love is. So if this is ever going to be like that, it's through imitating him and embracing the fact that we are his beloved children. So if you're here today, you don't know Jesus, that's the thing that I want you to hear. The reason why you're here today is not simply because your friend invited you or you stumbled in here or you don't know why, you're trying to get some answers to some questions. The reason why you're here today is that Jesus wants you to know that he laid down his life for you and he loves you and he paid the ultimate price for you. That's why you're here today, is to hear that good news. And that the possibility of you ever being like that is because he wants to make you his beloved child. He wants to embrace you and bring you into his family through repentance and faith. Simply saying, God, I turn away from trying to earn your love, earn your favor, and I embrace the sacrifice that you have made for me so that this can become like that. That's why you're here. For those of us who are followers of Jesus, the reason why you're here today is to be reminded that this is us. This is our life. This is the life that Paul is urging them, the church in Ephesus, to live like. That this is like that. So when our lives look more like the world out there, when our lives look more like the anxiety that we're holding on to and the fear that we're holding on to, this is not like that. And so we need to be reminded as his beloved kids to be like that. To embrace the love, the kindness, the forgiveness that he has for us. To put down the striving and just start walking as his kids. That's why you're here today, to be reminded of that. I need that reminder. Because this world, all it's doing, all the social media, all the news, all the jobs, all the get more, try harder, all of it's doing is saying, earn the basis of your love. And it's totally different than the gospel. The gospel says, put down striving, put down trying, and embrace being as his kids to imitate him. The basis of the imitation is not for acceptance, but from acceptance. And we see that in that phrase, as beloved kids. And then the fuel for the living, how Jesus has called us to live as imitators of him, we need to hear this, is not us. It's the image of Jesus who laid down his life, who sacrificially laid down his life and was a fragrant aroma, a fragrant sacrifice to God. It's beautiful. That's who Jesus is, and that's who he wants to make us to be, imitators of him. So if this is ever going to be like that, we must embrace his love and the greatest love that humankind has ever seen is seen clearly in Jesus. Not so that we will be loved more, but because we are loved endlessly and relentlessly. So, follower of Jesus, do you look more like him? Does this look more like that? If it doesn't, it's just a reminder. No shame, guilt, fear here. It's just a reminder that this, as beloved kids, is like that. That's why it's so important that every week we see this cross. Every week when we walk down the walking mall and we see the cross, it's a reminder that this is supposed to look like that. Every day when we walk in this word and we read it and we pray through it and we study it, it's a reminder that this is supposed to look like that. Every day when we pray and we talk to God about the anxious feelings that we're having and the fears that we have and the distractions that are in our lives, we talk to him because it's a reminder that this is supposed to be like that. And for those of you who don't know Jesus, before you can ever imitate God, you have to be a beloved child. And the way has been made for you through Jesus. The way has been made for you through Jesus. So today, we're going to celebrate baptism here in just a few moments, and Ronnie is going to make a public profession of his faith in Jesus. And honestly, in one sense, there isn't anything special about this water. There's not. It's just water. There's certainly nothing special about the hot tub. Right? But what is special is what it represents. It's a clear picture of. So as Ronnie sits down in the water, his body forms a cross with the water. And it's a representation to all of us who are here today that this is like that. That Jesus laid down his life on the cross for Ronnie, and he laid down his life for you. And as he goes under the water, it's a picture of Jesus' burial on behalf of our sins, that he took all of our sins and buried them. And then when Ronnie comes back up out of the water, it's a picture of Jesus' resurrection and the new life that we have in Jesus. It's a real picture of this is like that. It's amazing how this all came together this week, and the fact that Ronnie like messaged out, and he was honestly struggling with taking this step of faith. And as you get to know Ronnie, you'll hear more of his story. As you get to know him in the life of the church, you'll get to hear more of his story. But he really was struggling with that. And he was thinking about, I want to get baptized in the river. I want to get baptized in a creek somewhere because that's all I know. And eventually, Ronnie, he just messaged me and he said this. He's like, you know what? My obedience to Jesus is more important than where. Than where I get baptized. And when I saw that, I was finishing up my notes and I was like, you know what? That's a picture of this is like that. This is like that. That it's this picture of Jesus in the garden when he was praying before he was crucified, and he says, Father, let this cup pass from me. What he's communicating is this is this doesn't want to do that. But he willingly laid down his life and he says, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus showed us what this is like, that is supposed to look like. It looks like laying down our lives. It looks like laying down our desires, our will, our perfection, our preferences. And it says, this is like that. I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to embrace the will of God that he has for me and be like him. This is like that. And this is what he calls us to. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And in this moment, God wants to give you an opportunity, if you don't know him, for this to be like that, for you to become his beloved child. This is what he has for us in this moment. Maybe you're here today, you don't know Jesus, you've never embraced the message of Jesus. You never embraced the forgiveness that Jesus has for you. And this is your moment for this to become like that. For you to put your faith and trust in him. For you to now be able to enter into a relationship with God based upon his sacrifice and become his beloved child. This can be your moment for this to be like that.